Well, throughout this Advent season, we are going to be engaging in a new sermon series called Songs of Wondrous Mystery. A way in this time of year when music is usually at the forefront for us to dive in to some of the melodies that are already being played all throughout Scripture. The words and the rhythms and the notes that help us to see and recognize the one who has come and who will come again, Jesus the Christ, our Savior. Each week we will focus on one piece of the song that is being sung about him throughout creation. And this week, we are going to start with the song that the angels sing to the shepherds. So as we prepare our hearts this morning, would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, what a gift it is to begin a new year in this place. A new year in the Christian year that we hope will be full of fruit and goodness and of us drawing nearer and nearer to you. Holy God, we ask that this morning you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to receive whatever it is that you have for us this day. Holy God, speak through me, with me, and even in spite of me, that above all else, your gospel would be preached. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. The lights dim. The stage is set. A hush falls over the crowd. So deafeningly silent that every rustle of paper or squeak of a seat overtakes the room with an audacious presence. In one collective movement, everyone sits up a little straighter and leans forward, not wanting to miss a second of what's getting ready to unfold. And with a deep breath, filled with anticipation, the conductor waves her baton, and it begins. At first, it's just one note, one chord, maybe a wall of sound that makes you jump in your seat, or a melody so inaudible that you have to strain your ears in order to hear it. Maybe the piece of music grows over time, allowing you to follow it slowly each step of the way. Or maybe it changes from one style to another so quickly that you feel as though you're being dragged all over the place. Maybe the concert is filled with classics. Music that is just as comforting the 40th time as it was the first that you heard it. Or maybe it's a concert filled with new arrangements. Notes and melodies that you need some more time to sit with before they will make their way into the repertoire of your heart. But no matter, you can't help but get caught up in the music, in the twists and the turns, the peaks and the valleys, the moments of sheer beauty and the instances of shrill disorder. Before you know it, you are no longer in the concert hall, for your heart and your mind have been transported elsewhere. They have been overtaken by the power of music to a place far away. It's peaceful, it's blissful, it's even beautiful. Wait. What is that? In an instant, you are snapped back into the reality of the present and away from your idyllic daydream as the noise grows louder and louder and separates from the performance at hand. There's a frantic rustling of the people around you and a seemingly unified initiative to make the sound stop, just make it stop, but it's too late. The whole atmosphere has been ruined by one of the allegedly miraculous inventions of the 20th century, the cell phone. I hope that none of you have ever been that person. But my guess is every single one of us have been in that embarrassing position at one time or another. So in preparation for this Christmas season and the countless concerts and events that will fill up your calendar, I would like to remind you of my own top four snarky commandments of formal concert-going etiquette. Number one, thou shalt not make it your mission to carry on a full conversation during the performance, inevitably talking louder and louder until the music stops and you are yelling for everyone to hear. Number two, thou shalt not clap whenever you feel like it. This isn't about how you feel, it's about what has always been done. We clap at the end of the piece. That's it. Number three, thou shalt not purchase and bring candy whose wrappers produce crinkling sounds of incredible decibels. You think you're being quiet, but you're not. Number four, thou shalt not consider turning your cell phone on vibrate to be equivalent to turning it off. You may think it's less distracting, but in a quiet room, we all know you're getting a phone call just the same. As snarky and ridiculous as these commandments sound, we all know it's true. There are certain rules that society requires we abide by if we are going to be a respectable viewer at a formal performance. So as we open to today's scripture passage, I can't help but think, what a waste. The angels have come to give this breathtaking performance of the beautiful announcement that they have been working to perfect for weeks on end. Day and night, they have adjusted their dynamics. They have tweaked their harmonies. They have coordinated their breathing. This isn't some measly group that they've thrown together at the last minute, comprised of the only three angels who decided to show up, crooked halos and bent wings with them. No, this is the A-team. The multitude of the heavenly host, as the text points out to us, the Christ child has finally been born, and the angels are ready to sing out this secret that they've been keeping. They are ready to perform. So what a waste that God has sent them to give their concert not in a prestigious venue like Carnegie Hall, but in a random field. Devoid of any acoustic or aesthetic helps, not to well-to-do people who would appreciate the angels' musical nuances, but to shepherds, uneducated, filthy, tired men who are just going about their everyday work. You see, the problem isn't just that the shepherds are ordinary people, seemingly undeserving of hearing the good news from the angels. The shepherds are literally the lowest of the low in society, sharing that prestigious honor with the dung sweepers, the people who walk through the streets cleaning up the manure that the animals have left behind. Instead of living ordinary middle-class lives, the shepherds spend their days and their nights wandering in the wilderness of the field, completely segregated from the rest of society, unnoticed by the majority of the city dwellers, and worthless in the eyes of the state. After all, Luke tells us that there is a census going on throughout the entire Roman Empire, requiring every single person to return to their hometown in order to be registered by the proper authorities. In mass, people are traveling home that they might follow the rules and avoid a harsh sentence from the emperor. So why aren't the shepherds moving? Why aren't they going to be registered? And then we realize, when the emperor says he wants all people to be registered, he doesn't mean people like them. Because the shepherds, they're not even worth counting. The music snobs in the room can't help but cringe a little bit. What a waste of the performance on those shepherds who have no appreciation for the fine arts. They don't know the etiquette. They don't know the rules. What if the shepherds talk louder and louder the closer the angels get to the height of the song? What if they never even bother to look up from tending their flocks? What if the bleating sound of the massive sheep is overpowering, or the lambs get spooked and traipse about the field in a scene of chaos? The whole concert will seemingly be ruined. The central point of the music will be missed. But for some reason, God takes a risk. And against all conventions and expectations, God's great good news is announced in song, not to the well-to-do, properly dressed and quietly seated in a theater, but to the shepherds. Ordinary, lower class men working hard on the night shift just to make ends meet. Tired and worn out, filthy and downtrodden, God's announcement shows up right in the midst of their evening watch, in the exact moment when they need to hear those words, that good news the most, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the second the angels begin their song, something miraculous happens. A hush falls over the shepherds, and they are terrified, falling to their knees, completely dumbfounded by this sight and this song that they are encountering. There's no talking or laughing, no clapping or stirring, no attempts to continue on in their work. It's as if time stands still, as the angels have their rapt attention. Moments, even seconds earlier, this was just a field in the midst of the wilderness. This was just a group of shepherds told by the world that they don't matter, that they don't have what it takes to be proper members of society. But in an instant, God chooses them. And they become the first ones to receive the good news of Christmas as they hear those words sung out over their lives. To you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among all people. And on that day, The shepherds are transformed by God's song. From worthless to worthwhile. From unseen to seen. From outcast to beloved, not because they deserve it. Not because they have the proper musical capacity to appreciate it, but because the God whom we worship is a God of transformative love. During this season of Advent, as we begin to prepare our hearts for the Christ child that is coming, I believe that God is singing a song over your life too. Not because you deserve it. Not even because you know all of the etiquette or have the musical knowledge to fully appreciate it, but because God loves you enough that God wants you to be transformed too. So over the lights and the crinkly paper and the well-prepared concerts and dimly lit theaters, I dare you to listen. To listen closely for God's song. To get lost in its melodies. And to be transformed by its message. For to you is born a Savior, who is the Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.